Good morning, everybody. The Lord be with you. As you realize, the rector is absent this morning. He's supporting three of our parishioners who are being presented for confirmation in St. Mark's Parish Church in Newton Ards. We will think of him and of the candidates and of their families during this service this morning. It's good to know that some of our parishioners are in Newton Ards supporting those who are going to make very important promises on this occasion. The choir is a little depleted, slightly depleted this morning only, and that's not surprising because, as the rector mentioned last evening at the conclusion of the concert here in church, it was a wonderful evening, a very uplifting evening of top quality music, followed by a lovely social occasion. And whilst the rector did thank Dr. Joe McKee and the choir last evening, I know with others present here this morning that he would wish me also to express thanks to you, Dr. McKee, and to the choir. I think we are singularly fortunate in having such wonderful lead, beautiful music, as we celebrate our liturgy together. And thank you very much for all that's done week by week. Any visitors here this morning, you're very welcome. We hope that you will not only enjoy this service, but feel you're very much part of the liturgy. All the details you'll find on Pew News. We pray together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. the appointed prayer or collect for this Sunday. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please sit.
Because Jesus Christ came and died, Paul has written, our faith brings God's grace to us. We receive that grace in our baptism, then by life in which all sin is conquered, a new quality of life in Christ and within Christ. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1b. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ has raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin may be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin, but if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus is speaking to the 12 he has chosen to work closely with him. Matthew puts together here several rather contradictory sayings of Jesus about the difficulties of apostolic vocation alongside its delights. And so we hear both warning and encouragement for our own discipleship. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 24. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week I returned from a special holiday, renewed with enthusiasm and some energy, raring to go, to quote an oft-used expression. I hadn't spoken in church or delivered a sermon for 8 or 9 weeks. The rector informed me that he would be in St. Mark's Newton Ards today, presenting 3 candidates at a confirmation service. And so, some days ago, knowing that I was preaching, I read the appointed readings for this morning. And then I froze. For without doubt, I'd drawn the short straw. At first sight, the gospel passage was a total nightmare. Let me quote again some of the recorded words of Jesus. I have not come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Really? Have I picked up the right book? It's terrible, quite frankly, and it could be summed up as the Jesus nobody wants to know, which incidentally is the title of a very readable little book on faith, social and moral issues of our times by the American author Philip Yancey. Sadly, some of the words have been taken literally from this morning's gospel by some very strict, fundamentalist, ultra-conservative Christian groups, resulting in family discord, or even worse. And so this morning, I had two choices, namely, to ignore the gospel or attempt to make some sense of it. And I've chosen, for good or for bad, to do the latter. After all, I thought, those who listen to the reading in church or who work their way systematically through the Bible at home, they'll be confronted by those same words. The three characteristics that come immediately to my mind when thinking about the person and personality of Jesus are gentle, forgiving, and loving. Granted, he was capable of displaying anger, what we call righteous indignation. But he taught us the importance of forgiveness. Look no further than the Lord's Prayer. And of showing love. At every communion service, we hear the spoken words of Jesus, the summary of the law. Love God and love your neighbor. Regularly in the gospel, we hear how Jesus loved and respected his opponents, how he forgave many people, prostitutes and many others, how he cared for leprosy sufferers, and how he fed the hungry. The Jesus who speaks in this morning's gospel is at odds with all that. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Why would the person described as the Prince of Peace say such a thing? It's a really difficult question to answer. But maybe the opening words of one of the passages appointed for today as an epistle provides an answer of sorts. There it is insinuated that the ultimate goal of the gospel is not harmony on earth, but peace with God. I think all of us can agree that peace does not come easily. It has to be worked at through conflict resolution, whether between nations or civil conflict, such as we've experienced here in Northern Ireland, or conflict within industry or in families or at a personal level. Attempting to apply the teaching of Jesus can result in painful argument or division. Look at the inglorious history of religious conflict, for example, in the years following the Reformation, the 500th anniversary of which we will recall this year. It's been suggested that if you want a quiet life free of conflict, then sweep any issues to do with religion, or more specifically, as some cynics would say, to do with the teaching of Jesus, under the carpet. What the recorded words of Jesus in a dramatic and quite frankly not very palatable form emphasized this morning is that we must put Christian principles and loyalty to Christ before everything. He drives that home by stating that a person who does not take up his or her cross and follow him is not worthy of the name Christian. Some of the first apostles and disciples, by all accounts, were prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice and face death. Fortunately, we're not expected to go to those lengths here, although Christians in some volatile areas of the Middle East, for example, can put their lives at risk by sharing their faith with others, where, even in a church building. What we should be prepared to do, to quote words from a prayer, is to fight and not count the cost, to labour and not to seek any reward, save that we know that we do the will of the Lord. True Christian discipleship was never easy. In the early years of the 21st century, when secularism is rife, a reluctance to count the cost of professing loyalty to our faith could be seen as an act of betrayal and maybe even of cowardice. I don't like the harsh words of this morning's gospel, and I've made that very clear. But I hope that they may, strangely perhaps, evoke a thoughtful, positive response from us, compelling us not only to love and respect our families and friends with greater determination than ever, but in the words included in the liturgy, to love God as well as our neighbour with all our hearts and souls and minds. Amen. Please stand. And now, as a people of faith, I encourage you to join with me in saying the words of the Nicene Creed as we profess together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We use the intercession's first form, which can be found on page 237 of the prayer book, or 150 in large print. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, hear the prayers which we offer in faith, for peace, and for your salvation to be known throughout the world. We think of the many parts of the world where peace must seem a long way off. We pray for all victims of war, violence, and natural disasters, especially for those who have lost families and friends as a result of the recent terror attacks in London and Manchester. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, for the unity of all Christian people, we pray for the Belmont Council of Churches and for all cross-community groups. And we pray for all people throughout the world who are facing persecution and death because of their faith, and they have not the freedom to worship as we have. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who serve and lead in your church, we pray for bishops, priests, and deacons throughout the world. And here at home, we pray for Harold, our bishop, for John, Ken, Walter, Karen, and their families. We pray for all who minister and serve in the parish. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all your people growing in the faith of Christ and passing it on to generations yet to come. We pray for the teachers and children of the Sunday school and day schools, for the leaders and members of all parish organizations. And we give thanks for all who can give of their time and talents to help whenever they can. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all who live and work in the community, we pray for those who are unemployed or facing redundancy or an uncertain future. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For families and for those who live alone, we give thanks for families where children can grow up feeling loved and cared for. And we pray for families going through difficult times, in particular today, for everyone suffering such a great loss as a result of the horrific fire in London. We pray for single parents, for all who are coping with illness, or a parent or child with special needs. We pray for all who are housebound and cannot come to worship with us today. We pray for anyone who feels lonely or neglected. Lord, in your mercy. For all who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, for those who care for them, we pray for all who are ill at home or in hospital, for anyone waiting for or recovering from surgery, for anyone waiting results of tests, and for anyone receiving treatment, and for all who are terminally ill. We give thanks for all hospital staff, paramedics, ambulance workers, and carers. We pray for anyone mourning the loss of loved ones or other losses in their lives, and in silence we bring before you anyone who needs our prayers at this time. Lord, in your mercy. For all in authority, especially for Elizabeth our Queen, we pray for all who have been entrusted with the responsibility of government, for the security forces and the members of the police and fire service. We pray that all elected representatives will be given the wisdom in current political talks to work together to build a just and peaceful society. And we remember all who are daily risking their lives to bring all conflicts to an end. Lord, in your mercy. Rejoicing in the fellowship of your holy apostles and martyrs, and of all your servants departed this life in faith and fear, we commend ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We exchange that peace. Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death, we celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him this our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. As we prepare to come to receive Holy Communion or a blessing, can I point out there will be just one distribution point this morning here in the sanctuary, and I would ask you to make your way up here when appropriate.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus.
Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for feeding us at the supper of your Son. Sustain us with your Spirit, that we may serve you here on earth until our joy is complete in heaven and we share in the eternal banquet with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Let us, as a parish faith community, remember in our prayers this morning Daniel Sadlier, Bill Craven, John Kerr, their families and friends. Daniel, Bill and John will be confirmed in St. Mark's Parish Church in Oughton-Ards. We pray this morning also for Margaret McKee following the death of her husband Norman. You're asked to remember her in particular and her family tomorrow morning when the funeral will take place at Roselawn. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you, now and always. Thank you. please to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.
Parish Magazine is ready. Please take a copy or your copies.